Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for our world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome back to Love to You All. I am Catherine Galligan, your host, and today I'm very happy to share a conversation that I got to have with a newer friend of mine named Kelly. She is a licensed professional counselor, and I actually know her from the yoga world. So she's also a certified yoga teacher, and we had an overlap together at the same yoga studio for a while. And I got to experience her, just her huge heart and generosity of spirit and, all of her grooviness firsthand, and didn't really realize the extensiveness of her background. And so she has quite the list of accomplishments, and I want to make sure I give her credit for them. She's been practicing as a counselor for over 15 years. She's licensed in multiple states. She likes to work with adults who've had challenging childhoods and want to be, free within themselves. So a lot of her clients are searching for more authenticity in their daily lives and just looking to find that freedom that they need from guilt, from burnout, from overwhelm, things like this. And so I just really enjoyed talking to Kelly because she taught me a little bit about IFS. And this is something that how you hear about something more than once, and then it's like, maybe I should be paying attention to this. This is probably the fourth person who has brought up IFS for me in the last couple of months. And so, listen to this conversation because you'll learn about how it works and then decide if this might be a good path for you. It made so much sense the way she explained it, and I really see how beneficial it could be. And as you know, I am sort of on this personal quest to do my part to, help us live in a world that actually has peace on a global scale. And by the end of our conversation, you'll see how we also, Kelly and I feel like IFS could play a major role in that. And so she's just such a delightful person. I'm so grateful that I got to have this really vulnerable and authentic conversation with her that was so not scripted. We just let it flow, and we got to, get to know each other better. And so you'll witness that when you listen to our talk, but you'll learn quite a bit. And so without further ado, I want to introduce you to my friend Kelly, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the show. Love to you all.
Hey, Catherine. It's great to be here.
I'm very excited to have you. I don't know if you know how much I admire you, but I've been really looking forward to this conversation. So thank you for your time.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I want you first to just start with a little bit about what you do, so people have some context of like why I might have even invited you in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. So I always like to take a little pause and just kind of see and feel what's here with me in the moment. And I have to say that the job that I do is one that I feel found me, and I was fortunate enough to find the right resources that allowed me to do it. So I'm a therapist, and I just genuinely, wholeheartedly really love people. And I think in my younger years, when I decided to become a therapist, was that I felt like I was going to help the world and save the world and, mm-hmm. you know, give them all the things and the advices and the things that they need. And, you know, where I am now in my career and what I find and love the most about my job is really just sharing space with people.
Yeah.
And I've come to learn that what people need most is just another human being to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that this discovery is really about remembering who we are and reclaiming our autonomy and our own authenticity. So I'm a therapist and I've been doing it for 15 years and I really enjoy working with adults that struggled with relational traumas and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I utilize a format called internal family systems, which mm-hmm. really is about embracing all of who you are and being able to reconnect and be your own best resource.
I love that. So you use the word autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that what you mean by that? Be your own best resource?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for so many years, I thought that I had to be the resource for my client's success. And that put a lot of pressure on me. I feel like it was really hard to not take on the responsibility of everyone's wellness, which is AKA my trauma. But yeah, but it wasn't until I started doing my own work and realizing that I had these really big protective parts that were keeping me from being who I truly am. And instead they were just uber giving, uber empathetic, uber compassionate. And that's how I really kind of identified myself for a long time. Like, oh, that's who I am. But really what happened in that process is that I started losing my own voice because I was just caring for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And the idea of speaking out or having a platform like this beautiful opportunity was like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to hide. I can't let people see me, you know?
Yes.
And so, you know, doing opportunities like this and really kind of letting those caregiving and empathetic parts know that they don't have to work so hard right now really has opened up this pathway of me finding who I am, which is my trauma healing, you know, me having my own identity. And so this is kind of what I do with my clients is I really want to support them and help them in coming into their authenticity, kind of coming out of the shadows of shame, which are also protective, so they mm-hmm. can really be who they are too.
So this word authenticity, it's a, now, did you know that it's one of my favorite things right now?
I had no idea.
It really, it is like my mission right now. And it's almost intoxicating for me. And yeah. I mean that in a good way because I did not realize how inauthentic I was being because a lot of my protective measures were so benevolent, kind of like what you're describing. Like mm-hmm. people would describe me as like really sweet, really compassionate, like things like this that I came to rely on, but lost myself.
Oh no.
You know, this whole blind spot that I had to how inauthentic I was being. And I just think that my protective measures were so beguiling in a way because they were so benevolent, like me being really compassionate or like even just my, you know, the role that I was playing or the protective identity I had as this uber healthy yoga teacher who was super spiritual and kind and loving and, I mean, it's not to say that wasn't necessarily true, but I really was not allowing myself to even deal with my personal traumas or my shadows and understanding who I really was. And I just lost mm-hmm. myself in that whole identity, if you will. And it was eye-opening to me to realize that I wasn't just being, I was like doing a role.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I've learned over the years is kind of that empathetic, compassionate, always available, mm-hmm. taking on responsibility that I identified as mm-hmm. myself, that those were parts of me that actually carried agendas. I had to be protective in this way, or I had to be responsible in this way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be loved. I had to be empathetic and over understanding. Otherwise, I wouldn't have value in my family system. And so it's easy, I think, culturally to accept those qualities as, oh, this is who I am, because they're not necessarily disruptive to other people's systems. And so they become validated and they become praised and they become rewarded, and the dopamine flows in the brain and it tells us, oh yeah, let's keep doing that. But what I didn't realize is that on the back end of that, it was just chipping away a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more of myself just getting pushed. My true essence, the things that I truly felt, the things that I truly desired and wanted, just got pushed back because, nope, we got to be this first.
Did you have like a breaking point? Like, was there a real obvious moment for you? Like, wow, I've been doing this. Like an eye-opening?
I think there's been several throughout my years. And I say that because I would open my eyes to it, but never know really how to change. And I think that is the essence of how I used to do traditional therapy. Like, it would be very prescriptive. Okay, well, let's just go and we're going to do these breath practices and we're going to regulate your nervous system and everything's going to be great and the anxiety is going to reduce. And it did, but it was really temporary. It wasn't like a long-term fix. And that's just because I was ignoring those parts of me and the messages, the lessons, the wounds, the pain that they were carrying. I just kept trying to, you know, squash it, you know, just trying to get rid of it. I would say most recently though, a breaking moment is I started having panic attacks, and I have never had panic.
Wow.
I'm 42 years old. And about 2 years ago, I started having panic attacks. I also simultaneously was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at that time too. And I truly believe that was a part of me that had been overworked, probably the one that felt responsible all the time. And this was just an extreme measure that she was taking to be like, listen to your body. Like, so I started having panic and I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So that there was like, okay, that really caught my attention. And I was like, okay, something's got to.
Yeah, it really did. Well, because a type 1 diabetes isn't normally diagnosed later in life, right? Like people, it's more the type 2. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have genetic markers that predispose me to type 1 diabetes because it's an autoimmune condition. However, if I tune into my body and the way that I share relationship to my body, I think that that genetic mutation probably got alerted or awoken or by all the stress.
Yeah, the factors became ripe. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect storm.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, when I hear of, you know, I have this background in Ayurveda, and we do like to consider, well, what was there an emotional precedent before something manifested into like a pathology or a condition? And the belief with that is like a lack of self-nurturance. Does that fit in your case?
Oh, I think 100%, because all of the parts that were running my system, you know, this over-responsibility and really compassionate and empathetic, they were so consumed with what was happening on the outside of my body and not really allowing me the space to have an awareness of what was happening on the inside of my body.
Wow. Now that you have this awareness and so you have a diagnosis, do you feel that you can reverse this for yourself? Like, is that possible? Does that even matter to you?
I don't think that matters to me.
This episode is brought to you by my brand new online membership for women called Emerge. Inspired by the Year of the Snake, Emerge is a very special container for women ready to become not only bigger, expanded versions of themselves, but also the highest frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. If you're ready to live a little bit more out loud and step into your power, Emerge is for you. It is a year-long commitment where every month, like-minded women gather together to become even more powerful. It includes a masterclass, lots of learning, and lots of support. I'm your mentor, and I cannot wait to get started because we're going to have an incredible year together. You can find more information to register linked in the show notes. Until then, I can't wait to see you become part of Emerge.
If I tune into this idea of needing to reverse it, then that is just another part
that you're denying
of me, or that believes how I am is not okay.
Yes. Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. And that part serves a really big purpose too, right? I don't think it's trying to tell me that, oh, I'm bad or that this is wrong, that my body's doing this in this way, but it's trying to be a helper in some kind of way as well. So the one that's been overly, you know, responsible, and the one that's been overly empathetic, and the one that's, you know, super compassionate, and now this one that's like, oh, we need to reverse this. I really hold an awareness that they are all there to try and get my attention, and that they're all trying to be good and helpful. It's just sometimes the way that they're trying to be helping isn't as helpful as we think it is. So,
well, and you know, perfectionism, I mean, for me, what I've found personally is when something goes wrong with my health, because I've prided myself on, oh, look how healthy I am, you know, yoga, Ayurveda, la, la, la. And I really shame myself when something goes wrong instead of allowing it to be a portal, or, you know, even just like, can I still love myself despite not being perfect? Because I think that a value proposition that I've had with the world is I'm going to show up as perfectly as possible. And that is so inauthentic there, right in and of itself.
For me, I have similar parts that want to try and be perfect. And what I've learned over the years is that's because I want to try and minimize as much discomfort as possible. Because in my lifeline, I have learned messaging that where someone is experiencing discomfort, they're incapable of caring for themselves, so it's now my responsibility. And it became, you know, dangerous for discomfort to be. And so in my older years, you know, as I started like dating in relationships and getting in my 20s and 30s, that became freaking annoying in relationships. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to be managed by anyone else, right? Or their feelings and emotions to be squashed. And so though that was being responsible, probably in an earlier time in my life, was so helpful because that's what I needed to survive. Didn't realize that I wasn't living in that same dynamic anymore. So it's not bad. It just needed a tweak.
Yeah. And I don't know very much about internal family systems or IFS, but my understanding is like we develop some sort of survival mechanism within our system that looks like a strong suit. So for example, if compassion was a survival mechanism, it's a strong suit and it helps you win in that situation. But then once you've left that situation, you don't need it. You don't need it anymore. But it's so ingrained that it's just how you keep showing up. And that's what creates your reality. So do you mind speaking to it since I'm clearly a novice?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to share with you, you know, the framework in which my body and mind hold this. And I just want to put out there that there's no wrong way. And
thank you for that. You know,
anyone may add whatever they feel and how they share relationship to IFS. So IFS, first and foremost, is based on the idea of multiplicity. And when we think of multiplicity, people think multiple personalities.
And that's what it's all about.
Which makes complete sense, right? But in essence, IFS holds this thought and idea that we are born multiple. Like we are born with all of our parts already with us. So I already had the compassionate one with me. I already had the responsible one with me. But what happens when we go through overwhelming life experiences, or we don't really have the capacities to be able to meet the challenges at the time, usually because, not always, our choices are removed. We don't have the confidence or the knowing to know how to navigate through those experiences. Our parts come in and take on an extreme version of themselves to help us navigate it. So by the time we have awareness of our parts, they're usually in an extreme version of what they generally do. So that's kind of where we experience this internal conflict with them, is because they are just overworking. And when we utilize this model and approach to finally, you know, meet them and get to know them and understand their jobs and their roles in our life, they're like, listen, I am so glad you showed up, Kelly, because I'm so tired of being nice to everybody all the time. This compassion stuff is great, but I need a vacation. And we don't realize that they've been so overworked until we have that communication with them. So internal family systems is an opportunity for us to reshape the relationship that we share with these parts of us that have been with us all along. And they're really just trying to help. They've just kind of taken on more than they really ever wanted to. So when they get a chance to meet us in our self energy, in our adult capacities, they're like, thank you for showing up to help. And they can kind of unburden themselves from carrying so much
load,
responsibility.
Yeah.
So much load.
So now that you kind of have an understanding of your own, like, kind of compensatory behaviors, if you will, or identities, like what has shown up for you? Because when I think of like, oh, there's sweet Catherine, well, where's the bitch in there? And is she allowed, you know, like, is she allowed to show up? And like, then what happens, you know? And so who has shown up for you that didn't get a chance to express herself?
So as we, you know, as I do this work and I support these systems and these parts and kind of unloading some of the heaviness that they carry, what shows up is yourself. And it's really kind of like, it's like, it's so incredible to me. And I know, well, I'm going to say this. I know that I have a feeling that you have met yourself before in doses, through meditation practices or through yoga practices. And I think that's why my body really enjoys doing things that I like in that way, because that's where I get to meet myself. You know, when I'm in Shavasana for those few minutes and all my parts are quiet, it's like, oh, there I am. My empathetic parts, my responsible ones, they have an agenda that's tied to them. They want something from me or for me. So they stay very, very, very busy. When they know I'm available, and they're like, oh, Kelly's here. She knows about me. She understands how I got this way. She understands what my needs are. Then they start to kind of loosen. So this is what we call a constraint release model. We're not trying to eliminate these parts. We're just trying to help them kind of soften their grip on our life. And when that happens, what comes through is our truest essence. And we identify self with several qualities, but it's infinite. Confidence, right? I hear you say bitch Catherine. What I'm really hearing is confident Catherine, right? The Catherine that gets to go, this is just who I am, and I really enjoy being me. A connected Catherine, you know, or Kelly, you know, just connected parts of yourself where you just feel in relationship to the world around you, and there's no agenda. We're not here to fix anything or change anything. Compassion. So compassion that's not driven by an agenda, but compassion that's just kind of free flowing and existing. Creativity. This is a big one for me when I know that self is able to come through. I will say frozen looking at a computer.
Yeah.
What do I write? That's when all my parts are in front of me. And so when I have creativity, be like, you know what? Yeah, let's go grab that notebook and pen and just start writing down some ideas. That's an element of self. So creativity, curiosity, to really have that like sense of wonder without trying to fix, you know, like, oh, I really wonder what that might be like if I was able to, you know, to really just have this genuine curiosity. So yeah, so those are just a few of the elements. Oh, also choice is one of my favorite ones, because usually when we don't have self available, our choices feel so limited and we feel like there's not much we can do. So when you say what's coming, what gets to come in, and it's really your authenticity, who you are. And we call that self. And I don't want to imply that we have to be in 100% self all the time, because I don't think that that's really possible. But what it means is that there's enough self available that we can be informed by our parts. Like right now I have a part that's saying, oh my gosh, you're talking too much. And I'm like, yeah, girl, I hear you, but we're going to be all right. So I have enough self to let her know I hear her, but she doesn't have to take
I
over
see.
Right now.
Okay. And so it sounds like a balance or yeah. a dance that's maybe happening.
It's relationship.
Okay. And not relationship with something external to you. I mean, it's relationship internally.
And I kind of, you know, I know this podcast is about love. And when I conceptualize the word love in, like when I first hear it, I think romance, I think couples, I think Valentine's Day and giant red hearts, you know, and this like romanticized idea of love. When we are in relationship with our system from self, like compassionately and openly, that to me is love. I think that's a foundational element of love, because it creates allowance. You know, I don't need this one to go away. And it's not trying to boss me around, but we just need each other. You know, that's kind of the essence of this relationship is based on this allowance to just embrace how that one wants to help and that I'm here to be with it.
Love is so hard to define, you know, and I do, it is sort of a charged word. And so people, you know, when I was first coming up with the name for that, I was like, oh, I think people are going to think about like, oh, well, how can I express love, or, you know, have more acts of kindness and generosity in my life. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that's it at all. It's when I was thinking about love, it's like, how can we be our own authentic selves so fully? Like, how can we all so fully receive ourselves so that what shows up is the most loving version of ourselves? And so, you know, it's a cute name for a podcast in a way, you know, there's some cute pictures that have gone with it. I mean, and that's all fine and great. But like, you know, really anything that we talk about, or that I get to talk about with people, I hope it's giving us all permission to like, let's be on that path. Let's be on the path of authenticity, because that's what the world wants from me. And it's taken me forever to realize this.
Yes.
I've spent so much time like trying to figure out what I think the world wants and showing up that way. And that's been, because I thought the world wanted compassionate Catherine. I thought they wanted, you know, no, they don't. They want everything, Catherine. They want like silly, you know, unbridled, occasionally bitchy or confident. I'll say confident, Catherine, because it's more real. And that gives them permission to be that too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think I have maybe our boats were sailing in the same direction. As you said that, you know, I have wrestled and wrestled and wrestled for many, many years. And I'm not even going to say that I'm over wrestling it, but I'm aware of it now. And I'm aware of the parts that kind of lead that ship, so to speak, you know, with just being who I am, you know. Is it okay to be Kelly? Is it okay that Kelly has a preference? Is it okay that Kelly says no? And you know, the interesting thing is there will be so many people in my life that may watch this, that know me and be like, oh my God, Kelly, you're just, I think you're so confident. And I think that you have, you know, you have all these things. I'm surprised to hear you say that. But the reality is that when you meet that confidence or the confidence that you're talking about, it was probably agendaed.
Yeah. Right?
It was probably a part that was afraid.
Yes.
You know, you really weren't seeing the vulnerable part of Kelly that has confidence. You were seeing the agendaed part of Kelly, a part of Kelly that was too afraid to be hurt or too afraid to
tell
the truth.
I do know exactly.
Which is...
yeah.
And yeah. It's really
it
hard.
Is. And I think I strive... Like I have lacked self-esteem and I have lacked confidence and I hate admitting that, you know, but that shouldn't be a secret or a mystery to the world. You know, I think people pick up on that, but the reality is like, I think it's okay that I'm not confident. It's okay for me to not be confident in the situations where I'm feeling vulnerable and I'm feeling insecure because that is the truth, you know, that is, and it's okay that that's the truth and it's not going to be that way 100% of the time. And I don't have to start labeling. None of us have to start labeling anything like, because we're all of it.
Yeah. Somewhere down the line, you know, our system heard messaging or beliefs that we couldn't show that. Don't let them see that I played sports. I played softball for many, many years. It's how I played.
Yeah, I knew this about you. It's pretty cool.
And I learned this really deep messaging about competition and winning and not letting people see your weaknesses. And my parts had no other way to operate besides that. Cause I did it. I ate, slept, breathed it for so many years that all of a sudden when that stops, and I've heard this a lot from other athletes, so like, what do I do with this? Like, this competition is not how the real world operates all the time. You know what I mean? So it's a really big adjustment for those ones that have helped us get through those times, right? So and they have to adjust. And I wanted to circle back around too to what you were talking about. I think it was, oh gosh, of course it just leaves my brain. Look at
it'll,
Mary, I'm being
that's
human.
Okay, because it'll come to you. Did it have to do with did it have to do with autonomy?
It did have something to do with that and like really being yourself and who you are.
Had to do with the bitch, Catherine, didn't it? Is that what it was? Let's just see how many times we can say that in this.
Hell yeah. You know what? Can I invite you to try something? I want to invite you to just check in and maybe just feel what that feels like to say out loud. Like to just notice when you say the bitch, Catherine, like what kind of feelings, thoughts, sensations?
Do I need to say it again and just see how it feels? So I'm a bitch. It does not, I have to tell you, it does not feel good in the pit, in like the pit of my core. I would like to take a moment and extend an invitation to you to join me for a retreat I am attending as a participant this September in the south of France. This is the Sacred France Retreat hosted by two very spiritual women, Jen Cunnings and Darlene Owen, who I happen to know. And I want to emphasize that this is more than just a retreat. This is an invitation to open your heart and reconnect with a way of love and be in the energy of the Cathar region of France, which is considered sacred land because it holds the mysteries of Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine. So if you are feeling the call from what I'm saying, I would encourage you to prepare to go deeper into your journey of self-discovery and transformation. The reason why I'm going is because the main intention of the women leading this retreat and why they chose this particular location is to guide those of us who attend toward greater alignment with love. And you know how I feel about that. So look for information about this retreat in the show notes, and I sincerely hope that you join me. I think that it brings up so much fear.
So what you're encountering is what we call a trailhead in IFS. And so this is a, there's one part of you that's like, yeah, I'm ready to embrace this Catherine and be the bitch that I want to be, you know, AKA authentic and have all this autonomy. But there's another one that's conflicting with that, and you're feeling it in the pit of your stomach. And so it has something that it wants to share with you. It has a message. It has thoughts or feelings or even an experience that it went through. That's why it feels like it's so dangerous. Yeah. I heard the word fear to be that Catherine.
Yeah.
And so that's, I just wanted to kind of, you know, note that and as maybe like an experiential opportunity that's a trailhead and just something that maybe is looking to a part of you that's looking for your attention.
I love the trailhead. That is such a perfect way to describe it. It's like the beginning of a journey of me feeling like being, if I had to guess, you know, I don't want to intellectualize things, but it, you know, it's just a fear of being alone, you know, not part of a tribe and not belonging. Because if I do have, like you were saying earlier, preferences or, you know, challenging people or, you know, I'm not coming across as sweet and agreeable and amenable and somebody who's going to chameleon their way into all situations, you know, then I'll be alone. And oh my God, what happens if I'm alone?
Yeah.
I'll die. I mean, it's like, you know, I know it's like not going to happen, but I think that's like what it really does bring up for me. Like, can I still survive if I'm alone? And will I be happy?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And so you're noticing that there's a part of you that knows that you're going to be okay, but there's another part of you that really has a fear. Like, that's a really lived experience. And so this sensation in the belly is like, hey, this one that's carrying that fear, she might need your help. She might need to share what she's been through or her story or whatever it may be to kind of offload some of the burden of that fear of being alone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a big one. This is, thank you for my personal therapy session, Kelly.
Now, you didn't consent to this, so I hope I don't get in trouble.
Not at all. But no, it's just such great awareness. It's like, it's so subtle. And unless someone asks you to look at it, right?
Yeah. And I just want to say out loud that, like, I feel like the dynamic and the exchange that you and I are having, like, right here, right now, is just in a, like, if I could like capsule this as like an essence of our vulnerabilities with one another and how love is allowing this to happen.
Thank you for saying
that there's like my system feels so held and so it feels so available. You make it available for me to be authentic. And that I think that helps. That helps just foster these loving connections. And that's just what I'm experiencing right now.
Well,
as love.
I really appreciate you saying that. Thank you. Like, you know, I've been feeling like, gosh, I wish that we could go on a trip together. It's like what I've been thinking in the back of my head. Like, why on earth don't we spend more time together? That's crazy to me that like because we've been in each other's orbit for a really long time, actually.
Do you remember the first time we met?
No. I mean, I remember when we were, because I remember when we were in that really cool group that Kirsten brought together. Do you remember that? But you like remember me and I'm like, damn it, how do I know her? You know? And so was there a time that preceded that is lost on me?
I remember. Yes, that was our first time. And what was interesting is like how, like, I knew that you were going to be in my space and my energetic space, but how we really didn't share a whole lot of intimate time in that first meeting, which is so, I don't know, there's just something so beautiful and energetic about that.
Okay, so I do, just to make the record clear, I do remember that meeting. And I do remember like having a feeling, a very similar feeling. And like, for me, it shows up like, who is that? Like, she's, you know, wonderful. And then, you know, fast forward, a bunch of years later, and it's like, dang, yeah, the world brought us back together again. And so, yes.
It sure did. It sure did. And in such a organic way. And
Yeah. An authentic way. Yes.
Completely.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having, I don't know if it's the confidence or just the willingness and the forthright to say something like that. Because I think it's vulnerable. I wish we all did that more with each other, actually.
Yeah. You know, I remember now, I want to come back to it. You were talking about taking mm-hmm. care of yourself, right? Like, in order to be the most authentic, like being able to be loving to yourself. And I wanted to just highlight, I can't tell you how many times I've met clients, especially ones that have had mm-hmm. relational trauma, and they carry that high degree of responsibility, how taking care of themselves is selfish.
Yes, I know. And I can tell you that I intellectually understand this. I really do.
Yeah.
However, I still find myself, like, so even though I understand how important it is, I understand that it's more than a bubble bath. I mean, I understand, like,
yep.
But let me tell you, I feel like I even have to earn my sleep. And so at the end of the day, I'll be tired and I will tell my husband,
yeah,
hey, Jason, today I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things today. And he'll be like, Catherine, are you asking permission to allow yourself to rest? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Be quiet. I just thought you might want to know. But I am, like, he nails it. He nails it that I like basic aspects of care, whether it's just self-acceptance on an emotional level, or it's something as, I'm going to mm-hmm. say, pretty vital as sleep. I will deny myself mm-hmm. that nurturance, that self-nurturance that only I can provide myself. Like, no one can sleep for me. And like you were talking, it's true. Dang. And no one,
it's true. That's so and, true.
Like, you know, no one can eat for me and no one can walk my path for me. And like this autonomy thing, mm-hmm. like I think I'm starting to understand a little bit better this level of sovereignty that needs to happen. I can pursue Six Ways to Sunday outside validation, you know, by offering what I think is my mm-hmm. value proposition of the world. But until that is internally generated, I'm going to be asking my permission to sleep by showing him my checked off to-do list. And that's just, mm-hmm. what do I have to be 90 to get it? Mm-hmm. Not there yet, you know, but... I've got 40 more years before that happens, but you know, but I just can't believe it's taken this long. And yeah, it's like, it is not selfish for me to want to rest.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're speaking to is something similar to what I experience, where in this idea of defining love and understanding what love is that in order to be loved or love myself, that it doesn't have mm-hmm. to have a price tag on it. The simple fact that I breathe and that I'm alive is complete validation that I am worthy of love and I am love.
Yes. Thank you. It just by virtue of it's all the constructs, right? Like whether it's worthiness or mm-hmm. mattering or belonging or but, you know, however people categorize, however experts like you guys, you know, categorize these things, all of them are there for us by virtue of us just being alive right now, completely mm-hmm. untied to accomplishment or mm-hmm. action.
Mm-hmm. So this is us being born in our truest essence, kind of going back to the idea that we are born with all of our parts. But when we grow up, and I work with a lot of relational mm-hmm. trauma and anxiety, when we have dynamics with caregivers or parents that put value and define how much love attention they give you based on what you do or how mm-hmm. you perform, you start those protective parts,
they overcompensate.
They take on extreme roles to make sure that you get mm-hmm. to secure that love. And so here we are 40, 50 years down the road and really having to nurture that part and let it know, you know what, you are so mm-hmm. lovable just the way you are. I'm so grateful that you took on that extra responsibility to make sure that I found love and security, but I want you to know that it's okay mm-hmm. to take a break mm-hmm. now, you know?
I know.
Oh,
it's such a big one. It's such a big one. Mm-hmm. I mean, the moments where I'll have love, like in the most unsuspecting places. This happened one time. This is so random, but I don't have a relationship with the garbage man, you know, but I'll, mm-hmm. this is what happens mm-hmm. quite a bit in my world. I'll be like, oh yeah, it's Tuesday. I need to take the garbage out. And then I won't, you know, and I'll be like, oh yeah. And then I'll get so distracted that I'll forget to do it. Okay. Until I hear the truck coming down the alley. So now I'm like running out, you know what I mean? Like usually like my nightgown or something. Yeah. And like, and there's uh-huh. this guy. And so more than once this has happened, and it's so sporadic. It's like so spread out in all the years that I've lived in this particular house. But I seem to do this on like a lot of Tuesdays. Uh-huh. Okay. That like, I'll have this exchange with him that's so loving. Like one time he wanted to make really sure that he's like, are you sure you want to throw this away? It was a bicycle. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't work. And my kids don't want it, whatever. And he's like, he said something so loving. And I was like, I have no agenda with this person. You know, there's nothing other than the occasional run-in. And so like it was such an unfiltered, loving like thing that I get all like emotional thinking out of it. He's like, sometimes things, you know, it's just time to let go. And I was like, yeah. And it was like, so like, he has no idea what a God moment that was, but like, that was love. Like I felt all this love from him and for him. I don't know, not know why I'm crying, but it was like, but it was so special. And like, but then meanwhile, totally. With somebody like my mother, you know, who I know loves me insanely, like there is so much protection going on both sides. It's not even just me that like sometimes, how is it that I have like, I feel this like crazy shocking amount of love from the garbage man, you know, just like, and I don't, I'm sure there's a better title for him, but like, and I hold a space in my heart for this person. Yeah.
Yes,
and then
completely.
Meanwhile, like someone who's like, you know, anyway, it's crazy.
No, it makes what you're saying makes complete sense to me. And what I'm hearing is that the garbage man and you really
there's
have
no agenda
no
there.
Agendas,
none.
Right? Like there's none. And so that just really allows he's showing up with his self, you're showing up with yourself. And there's just like this beautiful connection that gets to happen in this exchange that's unfolding. But the reality is in our family dynamics, the parents have parts and we have parts. And when our parents' show up, then our parts show up.
And it's a fun little game we play. Yeah.
It's like, it's a fun little game and our parts do this dance. And I want to just highlight, as you're talking about this, this to me is the importance of us doing our own work. Because when we are being so-called selfish and really bringing awareness and taking care of ourselves and meeting our parts and meeting our system, we can show up in the world with more of ourself available. And just imagine if I showed up with more of myself and the garbage man and the nail lady and, you know, our brothers and sisters and our friends. It's literally just this infinite expression of connectivity and love. And you know, I really do hate to bring up the political climate because it is definitely not something that I feel like should be the forefront mm-hmm. of our everyday and our, and you know, but it would be irresponsible to not acknowledge the conflict that's there, at least in my world. So, and what I'm seeing is just people's protective parts and other people's protective parts just completely going at it all the time. And it's like, well, if we all did our part to show up in self and take care of ourselves, just I feel like how much more progress could be made and how much more connection we could share with one another and how much more understanding we could have.
Well, I'm actually really glad that you brought that up because, you know, my overarching mission for this podcast, it's actually world peace. And now I know that people have called me a Pollyanna. I mean, because they'll actually say it to my face, so that's not a secret. But I think talking about, you know, referencing politics anyway is perfectly appropriate because that is to me what is in the way of world peace. And I really do understand that, like, first of all, I'm not responsible for world peace and I'm not trying to save the world, but I am trying to, like, at least be vulnerable and show how I'm starting with myself because I do think that's where it starts. Let's do our parts. And I actually think it's possible. I mean, I don't know if I think it's possible in my particular lifetime, you know, who knows how much longer I'll be here, but I just mean that I actually think it's possible because we're all capable, because it's choice.
Totally. Yeah. And what I'm hearing from you, and I would, you know, please correct me, is that world peace doesn't mean a world without pain. It just means that we can live alongside of it in responsible ways.
Yeah. We can all, you know, understand that we're all showing up with our parts.
And taking responsibility for them when they are overtaking our systems and impacting others.
Yeah, and no one is really responsible for my part. I'm responsible for my part. Yeah.
And so that
is what I mean.
And still being loved through the journey, you know? Like you and me right here just saying all the things that we need to say and being our authentic selves and just allowing ourselves to be who we are. It's just such a beautiful experience.
It really is. Thank you so much for being willing to do this with me.
I am more than willing. You make it easy. You know, you really do. It's just a really wonderful way to share time and space with someone. And I really appreciate that.
No, you're so welcome, Kelly. Thank you. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.